Welcome to the Government Services Chapter of the American College of Emergency Physicians podcast. GSASEP represents emergency physicians who work in the federal government, including active duty military, National Guard, and military reserves, as well as the Veterans Administration, Indian Health Service, and other federal agencies. Our mission is advancing emergency care for America's heroes. In this podcast, we bring you lectures and conversations with leaders in federal emergency medicine to help you better care for your patients and lead your departments. The views expressed on this podcast are personal views and do not represent the views of the Department of Defense, any branch of the military, or the federal government, and they do not constitute endorsement of any product by any of these entities.
I know a lot of people here, I'm happy to say, but for those of you that don't know me, my name is Dave Berry. I am a longtime ABEM or GSASEP member, and 5 years ago transitioned to the civilian world, but maintained it as a member of GSASEP. I was lucky enough to be selected to be on the board of ABEM, and wanted to give you guys an update of what's going on the bigger picture of ABEM, especially over the last 2 years that we've made a lot of changes at ABEM. There's been a lot of changes from the pandemic, and I would say that some of the, I guess I should stand up here so I could be in the picture, some of the decisions we've made at ABEM haven't been super popular with some people. So I wanted to give you guys an update of what we did and why we did it, and really focus on your questions and your interests. I have a slide deck that we can use or not use, and I assume this is how to forward the slides. And we'll really play it by ear, and we can spend all the time talking about what you want to talk about, or we can go through some of these slides as well. So this is what I have prepared to talk about, sort of notable transitions over the last 2 years. I will say that I was selected to be on the board 2 years ago. I'm sort of finishing my second year. So I stepped into the board at ABEM during an era of high transition and lots of changes. So I've been super busy, and it's been a whirlwind of learning on my part. If you have questions or topics you want to talk about that aren't on this slide, we can go ahead and scrap the slide deck and talk about those. If you want to hear about sort of the things that I thought might be highlighted over the last 2 years, we can go ahead and do that as well. Okay. Just as background, I did want to give you guys sort of the demographics. ABEM right now, we have a little over 41,000, 42,000 emergency medicine boarded physicians. I did a Google search, and at least a SWAT. Statistica says that there's, 58,000 practicing emergency physicians in the U.S. So of those 58,000, about 42,000 are board certified in ABEM. The other ones are either not EM specialists or board certified in another certifying community and not ABEM. Age-wise, this is what ABEM, the emergency medicine community of ABEM, looks like. This used to be they always talk about a bimodal distribution of emergency physicians, and as you can see, that's not really panning out anymore. The other mode, the bump in the slide used to be over there where the yellow bump is, and that's the people that certified through the practice pathway before the first 10 years that ABEM was in existence. There was an ability to become ABEM certified without residency training, and that expired about 10 years after ABEM's was started. And that's that bump there are the people that certified through practice only, and you can see they're gradually retiring, and the rest of the population is residency trained, and you can see it's more of just a single mode. We have a lot of young physicians, and then as we taper on and get older, we either retire or move on to other things. Now, this is what emergency medicine looks like across the nation. What's not shown here are the GSASEP members who are spread throughout all these states. This is based on where people put their address and not what state they're, or, you know, GSASEP, what they're lined up to be. GSASEP in and of itself has, I want to say, I think they told me 1,100 members, which puts us as like the ninth largest chapter compared to all the other state chapters, and we're sort of speckled in between there. And then worldwide, we have somewhere around 60 or 80 people that are deployed outside the U.S. If you look at subspecialties, you can see EMS has the most subspecialty trainees amongst all emergency physicians, followed by med talks. If you add up all of the critical care pathways between emergency medicine and anesthesia and general surgery, critical care is right about the same as medical toxicology, and then the other subspecialties have less trainees. Going back to the update, as I mentioned, the last 2 years has been pretty dramatic for everybody, and certainly has been dramatic for specialty training and certification. Some of these were affected by the pandemic, and others we had already sort of planned to do. Pandemic-wise, of course, we had a challenge in trying to maintain certification, both initial certification and continuing certification for emergency physicians because of the pandemic and lockdowns and things. So we rapidly converted the continuing certification exam to online. And you can see that up there. I'll talk a little bit later about how we're going to sunset that, and that's been something that's been planned for a little bit longer. We also had a challenge in initial certification, in the final phase of initial certification, which is the oral boards. The oral boards traditionally has been an in-person exam, and we rapidly converted that in-person exam to a virtual exam. It took us about a year to do that, and in that year, we had a backlog of about a year and a half of emergency physician candidates which weren't able to board certify. Certainly, the military sort of group was important because, just like some of the civilians, your pay is based on whether you're board certified or not. So we really made an effort and a priority at ABEM to refocus our and realign our sort of priorities and make fixing that backlog of physicians that were candidates but not board certified and getting them through the process to be able to be board certified. It was a huge undertaking, and I'm proud to say that the board made it a priority, and we fixed a backlog of, like you can see, 5,000 candidates. That's about a year and a half of people, as well as taking care of the people that were continuing to come, and now we have a backlog of zero. So over the course of last year, we, instead of doing two oral exams a year, we did eight oral exams last year, fixed the backlog of all those people, and now we're back up to training and doing board certification for people that are just coming out of training. I'm pretty proud to say that. The other things on the slide in black, I have slides for, so I can sort of talk through those quickly. The only other two things that I don't have slides for are down on the bottom. Focus practice designation in advanced emergency medicine ultrasound is something that's new. We just had our first AEMUS exam last month. Those scores are being finalized, and the people should get their scores and whether they passed or not here pretty quickly if any of you took that exam. Did you take the exam? Have you gotten your score back in? Okay, well, the scores are being finalized. You know, they have to be sorted out, but once that sorting is done, you should get your score pretty quick. Anytime we develop a new exam, that's one of the challenges in getting the scores back, is making sure those questions sort of ferret out from a statistical standpoint and making sure it's a fair exam, and then setting a passing rate is always a challenge and takes a little time. And then as you heard the specialty leaders, John and all the other ones, talk about hospital administration, leadership, and management, emergency medicine is a major player in that. And the American Board of Emergency Medicine applied to our sort of parent group, the American Board of Medical Specialties, to see if we can sponsor a specialty in hospital administration, leadership, management. That application won't be approved or disapproved for a while, but the board felt like this is a strong and common practice pathway, and probably going to become a more common practice pathway for emergency physicians in the future. So we're looking to be the sort of sponsoring board for that new specialty. That doesn't mean that only emergency physicians will be able to apply for that specialty. It will just be that ABEM will be the sponsoring board, and then other specialties can apply, but we'll be the ones to give out the certificate. I do think it's a benefit for emergency medicine as a whole, though. Going through the slide deck, I sort of mentioned, we focused a little bit during the pandemic on initial certification and really put most of our resources towards the oral board exam and transitioning from an in-person exam to a virtual exam and then getting rid of our backlog. But one of the things that we've also done during the pandemic is focused on continuing certification and sort of updating and hopefully preparing to stay nimble in the future as far as maintaining certification and making sure that our physicians maintain the quality of emergency medicine to our patients. And that's really ABEM's mission. The many ways we've done that, but probably the most significant way is through a transition from the high-stakes continuing certification exam that you used to take once every 10 years, and transitioning away from that to something called MyMCert, which I can go over. In doing that, we converted to a five-year certification cycle and an annual fee, and I think the five-year certification cycle is where a lot of people had a lot of heartache, so I'm happy to answer questions and discuss sort of why we made those decisions. I don't know if anybody wants to chime in and ask questions now, but we are transitioning depending on when your certification expires. Your next certification will be a five-year certification instead of a 10-year. We did that for a number of reasons. One is because we got rid of the continuing certification exam that was a 10-year cycle, and the rest of the cycles that your continuing certification relies on was a five-year cycle already. The other reason we did it is because the public expects physicians to update and maintain their knowledge, skills, and attributes in their practice more than every 10 years. I think ABEM was smart in recognizing this and sort of transitioning early towards a shorter certification cycle. As it turns out, our parent body, the American Board of Medical Specialties, just sort of announced their future plans, and now every specialty is going to have to shorten their certification cycle towards something shorter, primarily because it's something that, as you know, we're trying to govern ourselves, we think public is going to benefit from specialists making sure they maintain their knowledge, skills, and attributes over a shorter time period than every 10 years. And it makes sense. You know, from a public's point of view, do you really want your emergency physician to update their skills every 10 years? That seems like a long time, especially in today's world where things happen so quickly. Yes?
I've got one question.
Sure. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I know it was a tough pill to swallow. Yes. Yep. Eight. I'll go into it. Yeah. I'll go into it. Yeah.
You don't need 8 months to serve it. At what point does the library serve the library service?
Yep.
When can I start the other modules? Yep. Afterwards, I wasn't really
sure. Your recertification, you know, is probably at the end of December or 1 year or something, but when you initially start your five-year certification cycle, you can start taking MyMCert.
Right. I guess my question was, can you take it? So all of your research.
Yep.
And I do some of them before
2027. Oh, I'll show you. Let me go to the next slide. I'm just going to whip through these slides if I can. We transitioned to an annual fee, so instead of paying these big lump sums and having, you know, dropping giant amounts of your pocketbook every, you know, 5 years or 10 years or something, we just transitioned to an annual certification fee. The costs remain the same. You're just doing it sort of every year as opposed to in lump sums every 5 or 10 years. If you want to know your requirements, you can go to the website and punch in the year that your certification ends, and then you can find out what your requirements are, and this is a little QR code. If you really want to look it up, you can do that. I'm going to let him take a picture, then I'll move on, and then this will answer your question. Okay, so let's talk about MyMCert. It's an open book test. The idea is you take it alone as opposed to the LLC, which we sort of, you know, encourage people to take as a group. It's a 4-hour time limit. It's done on your computer at home. It's open book, and you get immediate feedback. The big difference from my point of view is that it is focused more on a formative type of learning, which is more educational, than a summative type of test, which is more evaluative. So certainly there is an evaluation component, and you do get a pass-fail, but the questions and the test itself are developed. ABEM's focus is more on a learning and reinforcement type test than it is a, you know, test your knowledge of the Krebs cycle, which only two or three people in the room that are toxicologists are really interested in. I think this is where your question is going to be answered. So there's eight modules. All of those eight modules, throughout those eight modules, it covers the whole of the emergency medicine as far as the emergency medicine model, which is sort of, you know, the Bible for what emergency medicine covers. You take four modules every 5 years. So you'll take four of those modules in the next 5 years, whenever your certification expires and you start a new cycle in that 5 years. So in that 5 years, you'll take four EM, sort of my MCERT modules, and then the next 5 years, you'll take the other four. Does that answer your question?
I don't
think
so. I've already done
Oh, okay.
So I've recertified my certification.
Okay, yep. Yeah, so it's a little bit of semantics. From my point of view, you haven't recertified until your certification ends. So your certification ends in December. In January, you can start taking my answers. Does that make sense? So there was a lot of confusion. You know, a lot of people felt like when they took the continuing certification exam, then they were recertified. And your recertification, from an ABEM point of view, starts on the day that your certification ends. So you could take four modules in January if you wanted to, but your certification wouldn't end until 2027. Does that make sense? Okay, three sections. There's core questions. There's question sets, which are just, you know, a group of questions on the same type of patient or something. And then there's key advances, which I think is one of the most sort of exciting things and what's going to propel our specialty in the future. Those key advances are about 1/5 of the test. And those key advances are just key elements of emergency physician, which are new updates, which we believe every emergency physician should know. And we get those from practice advances in the specialty. We get those from clinical policy sort of updates from other specialties, including our own, and then suggestions from the literature. And we have a body of volunteers, which are all practicing emergency physicians, that will have developed those, and then ABEM publishes a brief summary or a synopsis on those that we put on the website. There's also videos, all kinds of stuff, and those are available for you as you take your modules. The idea is that that's going to sort of translate this new knowledge to the whole specialty of emergency medicine and to our patients faster than we have historically done. You guys know historically there's rapid adopters, people that are up on the literature that are adopting things super quick. Sometimes there can be a downside to that because some of the new things we do don't always last that long. There's the rest of sort of a bulk of emergency medicine or whatever specialty adopts it later, and then there's slow adopters. And our vision is to take some of these key advances that are already accepted as important in our specialty and translate those to the whole of emergency medicine faster. And so these key advances will be incorporated into those eight modules and allow us to improve emergency medicine across the board faster than we have in the future. And I'm excited about it. I hope you are too. But I think it accelerates learning and it accelerates our ability to improve care for our patients. Yeah.
What about
those of us that are especially in our first 5 years,
they
now that all the Yeah. Yes. So I may have to back up to get to that, but yes. I don't know if you're still in the 10, you might still be in your first 10 years of certification. Right, so you're gonna maintain that. You have the ability to do really whatever you want. You could take the concert if you want to take it before the end of this year. the continuing certification exam, the one-time high-stakes exam, or you can take My MCert modules and a mixture of LLSA and My MCert. And the way to figure out what mix, what options you have is to go to this website, which is the ABEM website, and you can log on yourself. You punch in the year that your certification ends, and it'll give you a list of what your options are and how you can do it. So for people that are still on that initial 10-year certification, you have the option to sort of, you know, take a smorgasbord of options, and however you want to play it out, you can. Once you finish that initial 10-year certification and jump into those 5-year certification modules, you'll be required to do 4 My MCert modules every 5 years. I did want to talk about a couple other things. You know, ABEM publishes a lot of public statements that we think are important for the specialty. We've published a statement on the value of board certification, obviously. We publish statements that about how we believe the delivery of emergency medicine care is best done by, or at least best led by emergency medicine trained physicians. We just recently published a public statement sort of providing support for state medical boards and their ability to discipline physicians if they feel like the physicians have done things that aren't that are unprofessional. Along those veins, we published and enacted a code of professionalism in April that all of you will have to attest to when you go on ABEM to take those My MCert exams or any of the other business you do on ABEM. You're going to have to attest to a statement of professionalism. Just to back that up, in August, we published a specific statement about medical misinformation. We are not trying to stifle, debate or real discussion about medical evidence. But if you're using your ABEM certification to forward ideas that can potentially harm patients, we didn't feel like that was going to serve the specialty or the value of your board certification well. And so if you do break that code of professionalism, there is the option that you may, it could lead to denial of your ABEM certification if you're not certified yet, and withdrawal of it if you are. Certainly there's a due process and appeals process and things, but I have gotten a lot of pushback from that, and I'm happy to discuss what our thoughts are and why we're doing it and not why we're doing it. Like I said, we're not trying to stifle a true scientific discussion. We're trying to keep people from using the weight of their ABEM certification to push ideas that may harm patients. I am proud to say that ABEM was one of the first specialties to come out with a professionalism and a misinformation statement. And since then, other large bodies such as the AMA, the American Board of Medical Specialties, our parent group, the federal state medical boards have all come out with similar statements. But I'm proud to say that ABEM was one of the first to come out ahead of the bunch to say that we're going to stand up for sort of against medical misinformation. Just other things we've done. Sort of develop a strategic framework. It's going to allow us to stay sort of nimble and adapt and improve in the future, which is what I think is going to become more and more difficult to do as things change so much more rapidly with the development of online information and things like that. We're going to need to be staying nimble. We also sort of started an initiative of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Making sure that we understand the diversity of thought, equity in medical services, inclusion, and the trust that you build with inclusion is something that we, the ABEM board, believe is going to be important for us to move forward in the future and stay up to date and serve our patients best. You can see listed a number of ways that we're initiating this DEI in process into our tests as well as our staff and everything else we do at ABEM. The last thing I want to mention You know, we put a lot of effort into continuing certification, revamping it and starting my MCert and all that stuff. Now, it was sort of planned, but it's sort of timely with the discussions of the workforce that we're starting an initiative looking at the front phase of ABIM, which is the initial certification process. We started an initiative called Becoming Certified Initiative. We sort of stood up a Becoming Certified Task Force, and right now we're in the process of gaining ideas from a number of stakeholders. You can see we develop a stakeholder advisory group, which is emergency physicians from all kinds of different areas, from all kinds of different levels, from leadership, including residents, including patient advocates. There's a whole rainbow of people on this stakeholder advisory group that we're trying to get input from. We have sent out surveys to program directors, to leaders of emergency departments, to ABIM certified physicians to get feedback. I had focus groups, and then just finally in March just finished a summit of about 50 or 60 people that we gathered to develop ideas. And hopefully we'll be coming up with some good ideas to revamp and update the way that we initially certify candidates. That's all I got. I know I'm a little bit late, but I tried to catch up, John. Questions? I thought you were going to be a tougher crowd, and I thought I was going to get a lot more. I was going to get a lot beat up a lot more. So I am open to taking some difficult questions. Don't be shy. Yeah. Yeah. So the oral board exam will stay virtual for candidates. You know, the oral board exam is a tough bird, primarily due to the security of the test, and so transitioning to an oral format was a really big challenge from a security standpoint to make sure that you know it's secure and people don't cheat and stay fair. We are committed to maintaining that virtual portion for the candidates, but the people administering the test, I'm not sure that's going to stay virtual. And right now, what the goal is to make it probably hybrid. It's easier to have the people. It's easier to be sort of standardized and consistent if you have all the people administering the test in the same place. You can standardize it and make sure that you're teaching the same things and testing the same knowledge that way easier. But we recognize it's going to be difficult, so it's probably going to be a hybrid for the people administering the test and virtual for the test takers. Yes, ma'am. Yes. No, but we are, you know, those modules are continually updating. And as you can probably attest from taking the ultrasound test, they're a work in progress. And when you tested the initial versions, I'm sure there were some horrible questions. And we're continuing to edit and update and improve those. And as time goes on, we'll go through those tests, get out old knowledge or bad tests. Based on stats and in put new ones. A tough question to answer. The intent is to only keep it at 8. We are looking at incorporating one more module, which would be a resuscitation module. How that's going to be incorporated, whether it's going to be a requirement or optional, is something that's still under debate. But I guess I'm a major proponent of adding a ninth module, which would be a resuscitation module, because I think that's sort of, you know, sort of what we do. But that's it's still up in the air right now. Leave endocrine till the end, is what you're saying? Yeah, so that's one of the intents, is to you know get rid of some of the merit badge type stuff that people do. You know that ABIM has already a sort of a statement that says, hey, you shouldn't need those merit badges. It's not, shouldn't is an easy thing to say, but... Be happy. Well, but my argument would be that, you know, a TLS, all of those, BLS, those are made for the masses and not for emergency physicians. So if we do incorporate a resuscitation module, it'll probably be focused more on emergency physician level care as opposed to more of a, you know, ACLS, ATLS, BLS, you know, for the masses type care. So hopefully it'll be a little bit more advanced. That's all I got. Thank you. Yes, please. Please, wait. She had a question. Yeah. Yeah, I think the triples are probably a sort of a beast of the past because it's too difficult to get the triples sort of organized into a virtual format. So we have transitioned to a different one. Has anybody... Yeah, so you talked about it. So a structured interview... was our way to try to incorporate some of the skills and attributes, you know, troubleshooting and things like that that we tested with the triple now as a structured interview. And we're actually starting to do two structured interview cases now, too. All right, thank you.
GSASEP is proud to be the premier continuing medical education source for military and federal emergency physicians. To purchase CME for the episode you just listened to, please click on the link in the show notes. The Government Services Chapter of the American College of Emergency Physicians promotes quality emergency care and enhances the development of emergency physicians who serve our nation from training through retirement. Learn more about our chapter at www.gsacep.org.